The king of Aetolia was passing through his city, on his way to the port to greet ambassadors newly arrived from distant parts of the world. The king was a newcomer and a foreigner, king only by virtue of a political marriage to the queen of Aetolia, and still unfamiliar to most Aetolians. They massed along the sacred way to see him for themselves, as well as to cheer their queen, who rode beside him in the open coach. One member of the crowd, a young man with a broken nose, a lip twisted by scar tissue, and dirty clothes that combined to suggest a person of violent and criminal habits, had a particular need to get close. He was in the company of an older man, unscarred, but no less shabby, who boosted him up the side of a stone street marker that labelled the intersection of the Sacred Way and one of the larger cross streets.
"Lift your right foot up another few inches. There's a chip out of the corner. Yes, that's it. Are you secure? Can you see?"
"Yes, I am set, and I can see. Stop nagging," said the younger man.
With one foot on a narrow ledge and the other pressed against the chipped indentation, he was high enough to wrap his left hand around the narrow top of the marker. From this vantage point, he could see easily over the heads of the people gathered in the streets, and with a good grip for one hand, he had the other free. They had chosen the marker the day before because it offered a view up a long straight stretch of the Sacred Way, and he would have plenty of time to aim. The crowds were growing thicker. The talk was loud, some of it the usual complaints about the cost of cooking oil and good wine and the behaviour of the young these days, some of it about the new king. One and all disparaged his Odyssean background, but a few grudging supporters mentioned his rumoured love for their queen in his favour. Such romantic stories were dismissed as foolish by the more outspoken, but a few expressions softened. Latecomers eyed the position on the street marker, but the older man defended the approach to it with the unwitting assistance of a portly woman and her gaggle of small children. They blocked the access of those who might have thought they could share the high ground or force the occupier of it to relinquish his spot. The only danger came from one or two of the small children who tried to climb up. The younger man stepped on a few fingers and apologized perfunctorily. The woman gave him a dirty look but pulled her children down. As the commotion uphill signaled the approach of the royal procession, the children's father appeared, pushing his way through the crowd, wiping his hands on his dirty smock as he came. He swept up two of the smallest of the children to his shoulders, and they all watched for the arrival of the carriage bearing the king and queen. The young man, with his free hand, dipped into his pocket and then lifted his hand to his mouth. He lowered his hand again, but this time took a thin tube from the other man standing below. The king was visible now, sitting upright in the carriage beside the queen. The carriage drew closer. The young man clinging to the street marker took his aim, waited for the right moment, and with a concentrated puff of air, fired the shot. The pea hit the king on the cheek. He didn't react, and the small pellet dropped out of sight into his lap. He tilted his head to murmur something to his wife, the queen. His assailant waved and shouted the king's name, just like everyone else in the crowd, and when the king looked up, his eyes passed over his attacker without pause. The royal carriage rolled by. The young man dropped from the steel.
"Did you hit him?"
the older man asked.
"Yes,"
said the younger.
"Did he see you?"
"If he did, he didn't recognize me."
His companion looked grim.
"We'd better go,"
he said, just as a woman's voice said more loudly,
"He did what?"